Today, we're launching Love Month on The Julie Tussey Show with New York Times bestselling author Julia London, the famous historical romance novelist. And you talk about a funny podcast. Oh my gosh, you are going to love this so much. Welcome to The Julie Tussey Show.
Oh my gosh, it's Julia London on The Julie Tussey Show. Julie and Julia. It's Love Month, baby.
There's going to be some actual words, and hopefully that'll get you all relaxed, tingly, and then there's going to be some actual words. I am really excited, but just so you know what you're getting into, I'm going to show you what I've got in store for you. Okay, so here we go. Need to come a little bit closer for that. Wait a second, let me get a little bit closer.
I can parallel park my Cadillac and stilettos with a baby on each hip, sipping my Starbucks and managing two companies all at the same time. I am an American woman. Need I say more? Pop the glampain.
Pop the glam pain. It's time for the Julie Tussey Show live guest, current events, scathing expose. The original suburban bombshell, the big blonde baby, giving you the fastest, funniest, most informative 30 minutes of your life. And now, here's Julie Tussey.
Thank you so much for listening to the Julie Tussey Show again today. I am so glad to be here with one of my, well, now she's one of my best friends. She doesn't know it, but she's one of my best friends. We are celebrating Love Month. That's right, Love Month, baby, on the Julie Tussey Show. So who else would I ask to come on the show but Julia London, the most famous, world famous author of romance novels, right? Right, Julia? Welcome, Julia.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's absolutely 100% true.
That's right. Something you got to learn when you go on my podcast is you just got to roll with the lies.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever crazy things I come up with. You know, before we start talking about all the romance that we're going to talk about today, I wanted to tell you something funny that I thought about. I was getting ready to dial your number. And I thought, you know what? I have Julia London in my phone. It says Julia London, New York Times bestselling author, right in my phone. And so I thought, all right, well, this is cool. And then I thought, wouldn't it be funny if you're out like shopping and then I pocket dial you and you're like, hello, hello. And I have to say, oh, Julia London, I'm so sorry. That was a pocket dial. I thought that would be so funny. Anyway,
you didn't
welcome.
Have to tell me what you were buying. So
well, of course, it would have been
you off the hook so easily,
like in Victoria's Secrets or Hustler. If it dialed you, I'm sure. Like I've ever been to Hustler in my life.
You know, you could go to Hustler. Yeah.
My husband says I'm a good girl that wants to be naughty. Yeah. I think he's right.
Oh, I think that's most of us.
That's why we live vicariously through your writing.
Yeah, myself included.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about that and I thought, I wonder if Julia has ever found one of these guys.
No, in real. Why I had to create them.
That's right. So how have you been? I know I kind of keep up with you on Twitter a little bit, and I know you've been doing some globetrotting and all that, but what have you been up to?
Pretty much that. I mean, between books, I've just had so many projects that were due and when I'm not traveling, I'm riding. But I did have some really fantastic trips this fall. I did the bike trip from Prague to Vienna, which was fantastic. I highly recommend it. And then friend of mine.
Can I interrupt you for a moment?
Sure, sure.
I'm not sure I could take that trip unless it's all downhill.
You know, interestingly enough, they have electric bikes now for those of us who are not so inclined to, you know, go up the hill. A little help for that. But
it was a little easier when I was not 30.
Yeah. But I do tell people, I mean, you know, you don't have to be an excellent bike rider. The hardest part is if you don't ride a bike is getting used to sitting on a saddle that long. But nevertheless, it's a great way to see, you know, different countries. And then a friend of mine and I, we were looking at our end of year balances and we both had plenty of points and we said, let's go to London for the holidays. And so we went for a week and that was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw your great pictures of the guys with the tall, hairy hats.
The tall, hairy hats. And then we went to see the Princess Diana, her fashion exhibit. You know, all the iconic gowns you've seen in photographs. That was really cool.
Yeah, actually, you posted some beautiful things on Instagram. I was like a little jealous that I wasn't there.
Then my work was done.
Yeah, that's right. You did it.
I did it. Changed my goal.
I know. Well, did you go to Scotland this year?
Not this year, but we're talking about going back maybe next year for a writer's retreat to my Lady Laird's, you know, her estate up there in the Highlands. Yeah. I'd really like to go back.
I know. And we talked a year ago, you had been there. And I think that's so interesting, but I wondered if it does it inspire you to write more?
Yes. I mean, there's something about you soaking up the atmosphere and I don't know. And, you know, you have the history at your fingertips and all of these castles or historic sites have a lot more, you know, reference materials that I can pick up and read about. That's a little harder to find over here. So, yeah, I'm always very inspired when I go.
That's neat. I know. I'd love to go and see that. But I'm sure I was thinking about this, too. I do a lot of deep thinking. I was thinking how a castle would be so, it's like so romantic and cool on the outside. But once you get in there, it's probably really cold and drafty. And
Yeah. You know, they've modernized them a little bit. So, you know, it's not quite as cold. But yeah, they're... And it's just cold. I mean, well, I'm in Texas, you know, so everything's cold to me. So, but it's just cold there, period, to me.
Well, and you know, we talked about this the last time you were on. I could not be the servant girl. I would have to have someone making my fires and putting warm bricks in my bed and emptying my, what's that thing you go to the bathroom in?
Chamber pot. Yes. Oh, yeah.
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 So and cooking servants.
You know, that's the other thing. There's no microwaves and there's no, like, you know, Uber Eats.
Really?
Somebody would have to, like, you know, cook your food.
I need a chef then. I need a French. I'm sure it would be a French chef.
Of course.
So I was looking up your series. You have written a lot of series, and let me pull my paper here because I printed it out.
Please don't make me name them all. I don't think I
could. No, but I was surprised how many series you have. And I love series when it comes to historical romance novels. I love to see the other characters pop up and stuff. So right now, you've been working on the Highland Groom series, haven't you?
That's right, yeah.
I remember talking to you about Wild Wicked Scott, and I read that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, yeah. I had it read to me because that's the kind of girl I am.
And that, the guy that reads the book, he's excellent.
Yeah. Now, what's his name? Do you remember?
I think it's Derek. I want to say Derek Preston. I know. I feel bad because he is really good. And he does a lot of different audiobooks, not just mine, obviously. But
you want me to Google him?
Yeah, because I've been watching so much football. Derek Preston could be a football player.
I know. Right?
February is love month on the Julie Tussie Show.
What would I search? Audible, narrator?
Yeah, if you just go to Yeah, if you go to my audible.com and pull up that book, it'll tell you who read it.
Okay. Let me see if I get it this way. Derek Perkins.
Perkins.
Is that him?
What did I say? Yeah, that's him. It was Derek. I think it was a P name. I think I said a P name. I was close.
I think you said Preston. We love you, Derek Perkins.
We do. And I had the pleasure of meeting him at the Charlottesville Book Festival last year.
Did you post a picture of you and him together?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
That's where I saw him. Yeah, I love his voice. I love his voice. So he reads all your books to me.
Well, he's reading this series. He doesn't read all of them, but so he's read this series, and I'm doing three more in the Highland Groom series, and the next one comes out in February. And so he's reading those three, too, the next three.
Oh, wonderful.
I just got so much feedback about him. Everybody's like, this guy is so sexy and wonderful when he reads your books. And he does have that, you know, very deep British accent. So
yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love his. He was one of my favorites before I knew he was reading this series. And yeah, I really, really like his voice. I think he's done some of the Stephanie Lawrence books too.
Yeah.
So I had listened to Wild Wicked Scott, Sinful Scottish Laird. And guess what? I don't think I got Hard Hearted Highlander. Can you believe that?
No, I cannot believe it. I'm going to have to hang up now.
And there we have it. No, yeah. Really what I think is going on is I should be so special that I automatically get these things. I don't have to look for, I am the big blonde baby. I am.
Yes, you are.
No, somehow I think I missed that release. But shoo, you released three books in 2017 in the series. That is freaking off the chain awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. Sure was.
I'm tired for you.
Yeah, that's why I don't have any other life other than writing and getting out occasionally.
Right. You have to ride from one country. Well, I don't know if it was countries. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah.
And now my blonde is showing.
Yes. Yes.
From Prague to Venice. You had to ride there just
to Vienna.
Just
Prague to Vienna.
Vienna. Just to clear yes. your mind.
Yeah. And they are goodness. In different countries.
You can tell I've never left, let's see, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky. And I did go to California and Texas.
It's love month, baby. Oh my gosh, it's Julia London on the Julie Tussie Show. Julie and Julia.
I can parallel park my Cadillac and stilettos with a baby on each hip, sipping my Starbucks and managing two companies all at the same time. I am an American woman. Need I say more? Pop the glam pain.
It's love month, baby. The Julie Tussie Show. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Sitting here like that, and then there's going to be some actual words, and hopefully that'll get you all relaxed, tingly, and then there's going to be some actual words. I am really excited, but just so you know what you're getting into, I'm going to show you what I've got in store for you. Okay, so here we go. Needed to come a little bit closer for that. Wait a second. Let me get
so we're back
closer.
With Julia London, the New York Times bestselling author and romance expert for the Julie Tussie Show.
The love doctor is in.
See, you've been promoted now. You're officially a correspondent for romance because we must know these things. We must.
No pressure.
No, not at all. So we were talking about that in 2017, you released three books in your Highland Groom series. That was a lot of work, but you have some, don't you have a fourth coming?
Yes, the fourth comes in February this year. Actually, I have three more coming this year in February and July and November.
Wow.
And so there will be six Highland Groom books. And that will probably end the Highland Groom series, mainly because I did you know, I centered it around a family, and I have, you know, moved it through the generations of the 18th century. And I felt like if I did any more, I was going to have to start killing off some beloved characters, and I didn't really want to do that. So
we want them to live.
Yeah, we want them to live on in our imagination, but they were going to be too old. So, so yeah, there'll be six in this series.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, when we had talked last, there was a female character. I think she was the sister of the lead man, and was it in Sinful Scottish Laird? And what was her name? Do you remember?
So in Hard-Hearted Highlander and Sinful Scottish Laird, there are two sons of the lead character in Wild Wicked Scott. So this book that comes out in February is their younger sister, Catriona.
Catriona. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like I have to take that back. The one that comes out in February is yet another brother, Ollie. And then in July, the book about Catriona will come out.
Well, that makes sense, because I remember us talking about if she could be a big blonde baby.
Right. Right.
I said, can she be a big blonde baby, Julia London?
She is a big blonde baby.
I love her.
Who knows how to get her way.
That's right. That's what it's all about. You got to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
Get your man, baby. Get your man. And it can't be because you're all mealy and easy. You know, they got to fight for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I
you
love
know, that's,
about it.
It's actually very interesting, the evolution of historical heroines. You know, back in the 70s, they used to be, you know, more demure, and the man was very alpha. You know, they called them bodice rippers. Remember,
yes.
Women just had no
yes.
power. But it's really evolved. And I think that a lot of writers are taking I wouldn't say the Me Too movement, but sort of the feminist approach, where the women are more part of their own destiny. You know, they're helping shape their destiny instead of being like a victim of it.
Yes.
And I'm talking about, you know, in the 18th century, when women didn't have any power. You know, they couldn't own property. They couldn't really settle on marriages by themselves. You know, all they were there to do was procreate. But we've kind of turned that around, where they're more involved in their destiny than maybe they were in the novels 30 years ago.
I totally agree, because I have read some of those old books, because I'm way too young to have read them back then. But
right.
as you are. We're both 30,
yes.
And we know that.
Just read them last week, actually.
I went to the library. Anyway, yeah, so I love that, though, and I think it's so much more relatable. Like, I love it when a female character is very strong, because...
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's okay. I just like that, because... I think it's so much more relatable, because as women today, I mean, there is no way that we are going to be treated the way they used to be treated.
Right. Yeah. And even though you want to keep it, you know, like, you know, you're setting it in historical world. So it's kind of like an alternative universe, really. But you want it to be relatable to the modern day woman.
Exactly.
So like this book that comes out in February is called Devil in Tartan. And it's about Ollie McKenzie, and he was the captain of their trading empire. You know, he captained all their ships. But a woman in dire straits, she has some decisions to make about how she's going to, you know, save her family. And she pirates his ship.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, but she's never done it before. You know, she doesn't even know what she's doing. And so she's kind of like flying by the seat of her pants, but she does it, and she captures him. And I just had so much fun writing that, because she's even asking him for advice. And he's like, are you kidding me? You know, I'm bound here. Right. She's like, well, I've never done this before, you know?
Exactly. I love that.
I thought that, you know, it makes her more relatable to the modern day heroine, but she's still the product of her upbringing. And she just doesn't have any practical skills. So she has to learn them on the fly.
Right. I love that you do that. I've been thinking really hard, because I want to help you to be so famous. So I think, see, I want to contribute my part to help you be so successful and so famous. So I've been thinking that you should do a historical romance cougar series.
goodness.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. And should it be about a big blonde baby?
Yes. Yeah. So, no, but you actually really don't see that too much in the books, do you?
No, you don't. No, you don't. And a couple of authors and I have talked about why that is. And I don't know why that is. I mean, a lot of women are open to it in their real lives, but in their fantasy, they still want the big, strong
alpha male,
age appropriate. Yeah.
Age appropriate.
Alpha male.
Yeah. Who's a little older than you.
Yeah. Exactly. A couple of years, I don't know. It's an interesting question why there's not more cougars. I'm sure there are in contemporary romance, but not so much in historical.
Right, right. Oh, that's what I was thinking, too. So thus my great thought to make you more famous.
Okay, well, thanks.
You're welcome.
You're
so welcome. I know. See, now I know you are so inspired. We probably have to end right now. But well, we've been talking about Love Month coming up. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to tell you this, too. This is our second anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. We're doing good. We're 18 podcasts away from being at our 100 podcast. Yay. Yay.
Wow.
Yeah. So
That's
things are
amazing.
Going good.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm enjoying it. It's really, really fun. And I get to talk to great people like you. And it's just been awesome. But February is also Love Month. And so February on the Julie Tussey Show, being Love Month, I thought I might ask you a couple of questions. Are you game?
Sure.
All right. Number one, I wish I had the do, 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 do thing going, but all right. Question number one, Julia London, have you ever dated a Scottish Laird or a Highlander?
No.
Dang. Because how can you answer this question? Do they kiss better than Americans?
I'm assuming.
In all your books, they do.
Yes.
Question number two. What do you consider the most romantic gesture a man can make towards a woman?
I'm going to say listening, like really listening and making her feel like she's been heard.
Now, that makes sense because all of the heroes in the books, they do that. In your books.
Yeah. I mean, a romantic gesture like bringing flowers. I mean, they all do that. But I think women really relate to men who get them. That's the romance. The second thing I would say is doing the dishes.
Exactly. Every night. Right. Exactly. And I think what you consider the most romantic first was listening. And I think that a lot of times men kind of miss it because they think that when you tell them something, they want it fixed, that we want
right.
it fixed.
That you're asking them to solve a problem.
Right. And my husband is a good listener, but he always wants to fix everything too. And so I've had to, over the years, tell him, now, I'm going to talk to you about this, but I don't want you to fix it. I really don't
yes.
want you to do anything but listen. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
And make them feel heard. Yeah.
Exactly. Question number three. Are you a kilt girl or a trousers girl?
Oh, I love a good kilt. Yeah.
Girl.
Kilts are sexy.
Is there anywhere we can go to see kilts on guys in America?
Oh, in America. No, we're going to go to Scotland.
Oh, I forgot we are going there.
I had some reader say that she had never seen a guy in a kilt that looked like the one on my cover. And I told her, you have to go way, way up in the Highlands, like way deep in the Highlands to see the guys I'm seeing.
Deep into the time travel area.
Yes.
Exactly. Speaking of your covers, just a sidetrack. Who names your stories? Who names the books?
Oh, it's a joint effort between me, my agent, and my publisher. And we try and capture the essence of the book and the titles that are most marketable, that will stand out on a shelf. So it's quite a process, actually.
And do you get to choose which artwork that they do, too, or what the guy looks like? Or
No, we talk about it conceptually, and they will send me, headshots of models they want to use for the photo shoot, but they ultimately have the decision.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm glad you at least get to see the guys, because I just wanted to throw my hat in the ring and tell you I like those tall, dark, and handsome ones.
Yeah, me too. Okay. I do get to say they're, you know, they must be tall, dark, and handsome. I get to say that at least.
I just don't go for the blonde. I'm sorry to the blonde gentleman listening, but I don't go for the blonde Lairds.
Oh.
I like the dark. Of course, I'm married to, we talked about this too, I'm married to a man of Scotch-Irish descent, and he is darker skin, dark hair, dark brown eyes. He's gorgeous. So,
yeah.
All right. Question number four. When I say Scottish brogue, what comes to mind?
A Scottish brogue. Like, what do you mean? I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, we're talking about Love Month. Does it inspire you in any way when you think about a Scottish brogue?
Yeah, I think a Scottish brogue is a very sexy male voice, like sexier than, well, for sure, a Texas accent. I'd much rather hear a Scottish brogue.
Me too. Like, do you hear it when you're writing your characters? Do you hear their brogue in your mind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I mean, they could say, I'm going to get the mail, darling, and it's sexy.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
That's yes. Cool. In a Scottish brogue. Yes.
I love
but
them.
It must be said in a Scottish brogue for it to be sexy.
That's right. Otherwise, it's not. Unless they have their kilt on. Now, if they're going out with their kilts and their boots. All right. Now, your fourth book in this series is called Devil in Tartan.
Right.
I don't know if everybody listening will know what a tartan is.
It's the plaid. It's the plaid kilt.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
From what I've read and what I've studied, do you have a favorite color of tartan?
No, I try and keep them true. You know, those tartans, the plaids are related to different clans. So every clan has their own plaid, basically, or a tartan. And so I try and keep it true to that. The Mackenzie plaid that you see on the cover of Devil in Tartan is as close to a true Mackenzie plaid as we could get.
Was that blue or green?
It's like a bluish blue with green.
Okay. Well, what if you're like in a clan and they have like a yellow tartan, but you look really good in blue tartan? Can you switch clans?
I think you're allowed now to personalize your kilt.
We're all about fashion here on the Julie Tuffy Show, so we have to keep the tartans in our color palette.
Yeah, I don't know
who
has a yellow kilt, but I would be with you. I'm like, no, I cannot. That in my skin tone and yellow, no.
No, and if it's the wrong color red, honey, it's not going to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. I can't marry you. Your tartan is the wrong color.
Totally legitimate.
That's right. Now, I have blonde hair. What color is your hair?
My hair is kind of an auburn, brownish red. Yeah.
Yeah, so you could rock most of the tartans then. Tartan.
Tartans.
Yes, tartans. That's a pretty cool word. Well, do you have anything coming up in the future that you want to talk about today?
Well, after Devil in Tartan, I have Tempting the Laird, which comes out in July, and that's the book about Catriona.
I can't wait.
And Catriona is, by this point, she's in her 30s. She's never married because when she was in her, like, around 20 is when the Jacobite Rebellion happened and men fled or they were captured, and so her dating pool wasn't very big. Especially for where she was in society. So she's like this unmarried woman, and she's lost all her ability to, I'm trying to think of a way to say it where I don't cuss, but she just doesn't give a damn anymore. You know,
so her give a damn is busted.
Her give a damn is busted.
Okay.
So when she, you know, she goes to see her uncle, and there is this mysterious duke nearby that everybody says murdered his wife. And she's like, well, did he? And they're like, we don't know. You know, nobody will approach him. And she's like, I'm going to find out. That sounds like something I can do for a couple of weeks to pass the time.
Little investigation. Yeah.
So she just, you know, takes the bull by the horns. And So I really enjoyed writing Catriona because she just kind of threw off the mantle of being, you know, keeping herself pure for her husband because she figures it's never going to happen. And she's just living life on her own terms.
She sounds like an American. You were going to really like her.
Yeah.
Now I'm working on a menopause book.
Oh.
Yeah. It's called I Got Rid of My Bucket List and Now I Have a It List. That's my new book. It really does happen in menopause. It really, really does. You don't have a bucket list anymore. Everything is like a it list. See why I needed a phone call 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
See what's happening?
Now that's a book I got to get. When does that come out?
I told Gary, he helps me produce the podcast, and he actually, oh my gosh, Julia, you will not believe this, but now I have to produce this podcast myself now. He taught me everything to do. Number one rule, never learn everything that someone else does. Right. So I said all that to say I was talking to him and I said, I don't really want to say the F word on the Julie Tussey Show, but I would like to do a whole podcast where I say it all the way through and then everywhere I say it, it goes beep and do my bucket list was thrown out for the it list. I don't know. Do you think I could write a book and make $1 million with that one?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot of women that'd be very interested.
And then the sequel will be, why the hell didn't somebody tell me what menopause was all about? Because this
Yeah, seriously.
So see, this is why I need you in my life, because there's so much good that must come out for the masses. Just like you.
We're doing them. Yeah.
We're doing
it. Yeah, it's like a PSA.
That's right. A service for womankind. That's what we need. And it could be a warning book for men. I mean, like it could be a get ready, you know.
It could be. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to look at it, too.
Exactly.
Gift it at Christmas to all the men in your life. You need to read this book.
Will you write my foreword?
Yes.
Right. I would appreciate that because,
man. And it's going to start with, this book is on my it list.
That's great. Or if you're on her it list, you need to get this book. Oh, you're great. I love interviewing you. I swear we must be sisters from another
yeah.
mister.
Because
we have so much fun. Oh my gosh. Well, Julia, it's been so good to talk with you. Where can our listeners find all of your great materials to read?
Oh, anywhere. You know.
I told you she was super famous. Just Google her. You'll find her anywhere. Yeah, but you do have, I think you have your own website.
Yeah, julialondon.com. I'm on all the social media, you know, where I hang out. So Julia London on Facebook. It's Julia F. London on Twitter.
What's the F stand for, sister?
It's for Julia freaking London.
Okay, that's what I thought. See, that's what I thought.
Yeah. And then Instagram. I'm on Instagram. And, you know, but julialondon.com is where all the information about all my books is. You can sign up for the newsletter, and I will keep you informed when books are coming out or when I'm making an appearance somewhere.
I love that. I tried really hard to see if I could come and meet you when you were making an appearance, but it didn't work out. I was gonna email you once I could work it out and tell you, I'm coming, sister.
Well, I'm gonna be at this thing called KissCon in St. Louis in March. It's me and like five or six different romance authors, and I don't know if it's been published yet. I mean, publicized yet.
Right.
But that's for sure in March. And then in July, I'm going to be at Nora Roberts' bookstore. Do you know her bookstore? It's in Boonesboro, Maryland.
No. Can you come to Kentucky? I mean, wow. Lexington. Yeah, we should get you in Lexington.
Yeah. Yeah. I can go anywhere. I mean, but for, you know, to sell books.
Yeah. It helps if
I'm
you're going to sell
books. I'm
not going
to ride my bike from Austin to Lexington, if anybody's got that idea.
Well, they not do have electric cool. ones.
Well, yeah, I'll get maybe an electric one, but I don't know. It loses some of its panache when you're going down the interstate.
No, with your scarf flying behind you. You know, I was going to ask you one last question before we go today. We talk about fitness and health and weight loss because I'm the big blonde baby who wants to be the little blonde baby.
Oh.
So I'm always working on health and fitness. And I did. I lost 24.4 pounds in the last year.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Thank you. It was like...
Yeah, that's hard.
It was hard. I tried for 3 years, tried everything different. And I know you look fit and trim to me. Do you do anything specific to keep healthy?
Well, yeah. I run. I work with a trainer twice a week. I bike. I do yoga. Yeah, I guess, I mean, I do something every single day.
That's
something
amazing.
Physical. And I have for years, and I have been, I mean, I've never been like skinny mini, but I've been the same size for many years. And I think it's that. I just like staying active. I was always very sports oriented, you know.
Right.
So I just like it.
Do you have a specific diet that you follow or any food rules?
No, the only thing I really do is I try to eat clean, like they say, you know, yeah. No processed foods. I don't eat a lot of sugar, but I don't really, there's nothing that I don't eat a lot of beef because I am one with the cow. Like, big fan of cows. I don't feel that way about salmon. I'll eat them all day long.
They're not as cuddly. No,
they're not as cuddly. But I mean, other than that, I just, you know, try and eat as many vegetables and lean proteins as I can, but I don't really follow a diet.
Well, I mean, if you're riding your bike that far, you have to be in pretty good shape, actually. So I was kind of guessing that you were.
Yeah, I think I am in pretty good shape. Yeah, I think that's one thing I got going for me. As my brain starts to deteriorate, my body's still hanging in there.
Thus why I have a beep it list, because I can't remember anything else.
Yeah. <right now. laughs>
So if I don't write it down, it is horrible. It's just
horrible.
I'm like,
yeah, no, me
dear
too.
Lord Jesus, please, Lord Jesus, don't let me be one of the women that it doesn't all go away at the end. Please.
I know. Me too. That's what my prayer too. And do you ever like walk into a room and stand there for 5 minutes trying to desperately to remember what was so important that you got up and came into this room to do?
Exactly. And sometimes I stand there and I'm like, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. Yeah. I know.
If
it's
I just come. Stand here long enough, eventually.
What used to take less than 1 second now takes 30 seconds to happen. Well, I'm glad that your brain is still creating beautiful, awesome characters and writing fantastic books for us. You are my Prozac.
Oh, good.
I love listening to books because it really is the Calgon take me away moment in my life. It helps me to de-stress. And, you know, I just love it. I love it. And I appreciate your work. I do. I really, truly enjoy it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Julia, thank you so much for being on the Julie Tussie Show. I think when your book comes out in July, I might see if you want to pop in and talk about it again, because it's going to be an awesome book. I can't wait. All of them
are
great.
And don't forget Devlin Tartan in February, too.
Yes, Devlin Tartan, and then a Katriana.
Tempting the Laird, and then, Tempting the Laird in July, and Seduced by a Scott in November.
Woo, girl. You have been busy. Yeah, I can't wait. I do want to know how I can remind myself of all of those. Send me a text.
Well, you should like sign up for my newsletter, because I will make sure you don't forget.
And is that on your website?
Yes, it is. Right. It's right there, right on the top of the page.
I knew I was special. See, everybody? I'll go on and do that, so I know, because I love your books. What did we talk about? You'd had 45 out the last time we talked, and there was 19 in my Audible. So, yeah, so I've got to add these to it. But thank you so much, and I appreciate you. You keep doing all that good writing, and we will talk to you really soon.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Julie.
Thank you so much.
This is Julie Tussie telling you, you only get one life. Live it to the fullest.
You know, I say I'm 30, but I'm not. I am Aging Wells on the Julie Tussie Show, and so is April. If you'd like to know some of our beauty secrets, you need to go see Dr. Wells in Lexington, Kentucky. Everything from plastic surgery to fillers, Botox, and fantastic skincare that is changing the way that I look. I feel like I'm looking 30 every day. Go visit WellsPlasticSurgery.com.
To get fit and fabulous with the Julie Tussie Show, visit Richmond, Kentucky's own Get Fit facility. Get fit with memberships as low as $14.99 and a schedule that will fit your own lifestyle. Get fit.
It's love month, baby. The Julie Tussie Show, satisfaction guaranteed.
Like that. And then there's like these magical words. And hopefully that'll get you all relaxed. Tingly. And then there's like these magical words. I am really excited. Just so you know what you're getting into, I'm going to show you what I've got in store for you. Okay, so here we go. Need to come a little bit closer for that. Wait a second, let me get a little bit closer.
When I see you standing across the street, I know you're the man I wanna meet. Everything about you calls my name. I can tell my life will never be the same.
If life is my oyster, darling, pass the hot sauce.